Welcome to Crossroads. The United States has followed through on its warnings that more sanctions on the Chinese Communist Party were coming. Now, last Friday, it imposed sanctions on nearly 400 entities and individuals, including many in China. And this is because of their support for Russia's war in Ukraine. Now, look, this comes after NATO determined the CCP is the decisive enabler in Russia's ability to keep the war going. And now, rather than back off its support for Russia, the Chinese Communist Party is going the other way and they're actually doubling down, meaning they're probably going to get sanctioned even more. Now, first off, on these sweeping sanctions, the United States has targeted nearly 400 individuals and entities both within Russia and outside, including in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, whose products, services enable Russia to sustain its war effort and evade sanctions. Now, it notes that these include PRC-based suppliers, it's in China, to Russia's military industrial base that, according to the Treasury, operated in the technology sector of the Russian economy. Now, the State Department, in its announcement, specifically pointed out the Chinese Communist Party, and it said these designations aim to disrupt sanction evasion and target entities in multiple third countries, including the People's Republic of China. The State Department also said that we remain concerned by the magnitude of dual-use goods exports from PRC to Russia. Dual use, of course, meaning that you can use them for one thing, for example, maybe computers or normal consumer goods, but you can use them for something else, in this case, the Russian military. And so, while they may not be shipping guns and bombs directly, they appear to be shipping things that can be used for the Russian military and apparently for that purpose. Now, they note as well that imports of the PRC are filling critical gaps in Russia's defense production cycle, thereby enabling it to produce weapons, ramp up defense production, and bolster its military industrial base. Now, in response to these sanctions, the Ministry of Commerce in China said, according to AP, that China urges the U.S. to immediately stop its wrong practices and will take necessary measures to resolutely safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of Chinese companies. Meaning, the Chinese Communist Party, rather than backing down off of this, rather than maybe, not supplying the things Russia needs to keep the war going, they're doubling down on their end and may even do something to punish the United States, it seems, right? Given the situation, it's more than likely we'll watch this continue to expand. This is very likely not the end of these sanctions. On the current trend, it's very likely it's going to keep growing. Now, among the hundreds targeted in the sanctions, there are 42 Chinese companies. And it's also possible this could still expand, not just from US sanctions, but even proposed sanctions by NATO allies in Europe. Because remember, when again NATO determined that the Chinese Communist Party was the key enabler of Russia's ability to keep the war going, NATO allies, of course, to the US and Europe, they were also talking about sanctioning the Chinese Communist Party. There was even discussion, notably, of going after the Chinese banks. Now, the big question is whether the Chinese Communist Party decides to back off, whether it decides to maybe stop playing this role within the war. It seems that as of now, the Chinese Communist Party is moving the other way. It appears to be expanding its role with Russia. At least, going by meetings that took place just days before the United States announced the new sanctions. CNN said this on August 21st. They said that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday hailed flourishing trade ties with China during a meeting with a top Chinese official in Moscow as the two countries bolster their partnership in the face of mounting frictions with the West. In other words, as they face more pressure from NATO, the United States, Europe, as they face more pressure from NATO, Russia and the Chinese Communist Party are getting closer and working more closely together on this war. Now, it notes that Chinese Premier Li Qiang, China's number two official under CCP leader Xi Jinping, had traveled to Moscow for a long-standing annual meeting with Russia's prime minister, which focused on economic and practical cooperation as the Kremlin continues to look to Beijing for economic partnership in its war as the war with Ukraine grinds on. Now, interestingly, with this as well, Russia has been having trouble getting paid when working with the Chinese Communist Party. One of the reasons is, of course, the sanctions against, you know, Russian banks and so on have inhibited its ability to actually, you know, process payments and so on. The Chinese Communist Party in Russia, a lot of the payments between them are not really going through. And their attempts, notably, to break away from the U.S. dollar, so far it hasn't worked. What Russia's going to be doing now, though, is, at least they claim, they're going to be trying to work on cryptocurrency as the way to process these payments. And also the Chinese Communist Party in Russia are going to be dealing in, like, hard assets, like bartering, like going back to medieval times on this. But with this whole situation as well, it's actually possible the U.S. is going to have to, if it wants to, again, prevent this type of business deal from taking place, start looking at the cryptocurrencies. Now, again, we'll see where that goes, but not only right now is the Chinese Communist Party doubling down its ties with Russia amidst the whole war, but it also appears that Russia is doubling down on its side. Now, just following the sanctions, this happened. AP said that Russia battered much of Ukraine on Monday, firing scores of missiles and drones that killed 4 people, injured more than a dozen, and damaged energy facilities, and attacks that President Volodymyr Zelensky described as vile. It says the barrage of over 100 missiles and a similar number of drones began around midnight and continued through daybreak in what appeared to be Russia's biggest onslaught in weeks. It notes that Ukraine's Air Force said swarms of Russian drones fired at eastern, northern, southern, and central regions were followed by volleys of cruise and ballistic missiles. Now, again, for an attack of that scale, it's the death, I mean, of course, it's tragic, of course, the deaths. It's not that much compared to the scale, suggesting Russia did this more of kind of a show of force. Russia, it doesn't seem like they had really well-targeted strikes with this, unless they were, of course, going after the energy facilities. But the damaging of energy facilities also sends a pretty strong message, because that's a part of the war that's going to be the big one, especially when it comes to, for example, damaging nuclear facilities, or if that ever takes place. Remember that previously, when one of the nuclear facilities was damaged in Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine were accusing the other of being responsible for it. And, you know, the big concern is that we have a Chernobyl part two, is that, you know, again, during the Chernobyl incident and, you know, during the Soviet Union, the nuclear meltdown that took place could have impacted all of Europe. And again, if that happens in Ukraine, that's going to be something that drags all of Europe possibly into this conflict. Now, remember also, the war ties in with the broader picture of conflicts and threats the Chinese Communist Party is getting behind, not just with Russia. This also happens as Iran is threatening attacks on Israel, and as Israel has been targeting Hezbollah in kind of preemptive attacks, notably in Lebanon. And with this said as well, it's likely these conflicts are also going to expand. We're very likely not watching the end of this. It's possible we're watching maybe the beginning. On Russia's side, it looks like the conflict is now expanding into Russia, not just in Ukraine, with Ukraine now asking to launch stronger attacks deeper into Russia. And again, while they have done some attacks into Russia, notably even doing a military offensive to take some of the border regions, and notably as well making it difficult for Russia to counter that, Russia has responded with missile and ballistic missile type attacks into Ukraine. Ukraine wants to do the same thing right back to Russia now. And of course, not just striking at the border regions, not just defending, but actually going in the offense and maybe striking deep into Russia. Now, on that note as well, with Israel, it looks like Hezbollah could start waging a larger terror war. And it's also possible that Iran could get deeper into the conflict as well. Iran might get pulled into this because, well, they're threatening it right now. And this is also going to likely mean that the United States and European sanctions against the Chinese Communist Party, allied both with Russia and Iran, and of course North Korea also making threats right now, these sanctions are very likely going to expand. And this will also certainly very much accelerate an economic decoupling now taking place from China. Now, with that economic decoupling growing, this could have a serious impact on the Chinese economy in and of itself overall. And U.S. businesses are already on their way out of China. Now, I'll be talking more about this after I come back from a quick break.
Experts agree. One of the best ways to protect against financial uncertainty is to diversify your portfolio. Learn how physical gold and silver can secure your retirement funds from today's economic challenges with a gold IRA from American Hartford Gold. You can safeguard your wealth with no penalties or taxes when you transfer your current qualifying retirement accounts. Call now and our precious metals specialists will send you a free information kit, no cost or obligation. American Hartford Gold, a trusted industry leader with an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, has a 5-star rating from thousands of happy clients. Whether you are getting physical precious metals in a gold IRA or delivered to your doorstep, we offer only the highest quality gold and silver. For your peace of mind, we also offer a no-fee buyback commitment, a low-price guarantee, along with free shipping and free insurance. So, don't wait. Call the number on your screen today and secure your financial future.
Welcome back. The United States has rolled out 400 new sanctions against companies and individuals that are supporting Russia's war against Ukraine. Now, this includes individuals in Europe and entities, you know, Asia, Middle East, whose products and services enable Russia to sustain its war efforts and evade sanctions. And a big part of this is the Chinese Communist Party, because it's been deemed the key enabler of Russia's war. The Chinese Communist Party looks to push back on these sanctions, but these sanctions against China, they only look like they're going to expand. This is very likely not the end of it. And notably, as this happens, the economic decoupling that's now taking place between the West and China is also very likely going to expand. Now, a big part of these are the businesses that are running in China, and it's looking like these businesses are trying to get out of China. IBM, notably, they just shut down their research and development operations in China. Wall Street Journal said that IBM is shutting down its China Research and Development Department, the latest retreat from the country by top U.S. technology companies. It says the company, again IBM, is moving its China R&D functions to other overseas facilities, according to, again, an IBM executive telling employees at a virtual meeting on Monday morning. And that's, again, according to employees who attended this. Now, this individual said that IBM is facing intensifying competition with China, with its infrastructure business declining in the past few years, again, according to the sources there. And look, we've actually seen similar trends elsewhere as well. Airline companies, they're also pulling business out of China now. And they're saying that it seems that demand for flights in the country is going down. Remember, not only is China facing sanctions and tariffs and other things, they're facing also a consumption crisis. For some reason, Chinese people are just not buying things like they used to. Now, interestingly, Walmart is also dropping its stake in a Chinese e-commerce firm, which is JD.com. And that's important because that deal that Walmart had with JD.com, that was originally regarded as being the foundation of Walmart's strategy in China. Reuters said this. They said now it is tearing up that playbook by unloading its entire $3.74 billion stake in one of China's biggest online retailers. In another example of the volatile nature of its relationship with China. It says the unshackling from JD.com is emblematic of the broader strategic withdrawal of the world's largest retailer from the market, where profitability has proven elusive. In other words, these companies are not making money like they used to in China. It's not even aside from the conflicts, it's just not financially feasible for some of them to continue operating there. They know that several Western firms, including Walmart, are increasingly shifting investments and sourcing away from China to other developing countries. And interestingly, despite China's claims of, you know, economic growth, it's still considered a developing country. And it's moving business notably to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh to improve their supply chain resilience. Meaning that, again, if you want to operate in China and the Chinese Communist Party starts restricting key materials or iron or, you know, rare earth minerals, or maybe shuts down trade entirely because they do a new lockdown, well, that means your supply chain gets hit. And they're deeming now that it's just too risky being there, given the current state, but also just because the consumption is not the same as it used to be. Now, interestingly, we're watching similar trends happening, not just even at the business level, not even with airlines, but even with private equity firms, some of the biggest financial companies. Financial Times said this, They said most of the world's biggest private equity firms, including Blackstone, KKR, and Carlyle, have put the brakes on deals in China this year as geopolitical tensions rise and Beijing exerts tighter controls over business. They're being squeezed from both sides. International conflicts, tariffs, sanctions, and then Chinese Communist Party pushing back on that and going against the businesses all caught in the middle. And these businesses, these equity firms, everyone else, they're getting squeezed and they're pulling out. Now, I know it's the figures underscore how quickly overseas investors' enthusiasm for China, once a hot market, has waned in recent years. I know it's the same 10 firms collectively made 30 investments in the country as recently as 2021 and similar numbers in earlier years, but the numbers have fallen every year since then. I know it's that this year, 7 of the 10 have made no new investments at all, the figures from Dealogic show. Now, I notice as well that for much of the past decade, firms rushed to gain exposure to a large and fast-growing market, right? China. And it was, of course, they were buying stakes in Chinese companies that could later list in the U.S. And, you know, the idea was they net their investors a large windfall, it says. But since the ride-hailing app Didi, which is, again, kind of like China's version of Uber, troubled New York initial public offering in 2021, Beijing has cracked down on overseas listings, leaving investors with fewer ways to cash out. In other words, the CCP is doing things that, even aside again from the trade wars and everything else, the Chinese Communist Party is taking actions on its side that make it so that investors who get their money in China can't necessarily get their money out of China. And remember, even for some Chinese citizens, they're facing this problem. When you had runs on the bank and they couldn't get their money out, it's not just Chinese citizens, it's anybody operating in China at this point. Now, they note that China's slowing growth has deterred investors, as have planned U.S. restrictions on private equity investment in some Chinese technology, because the CCP is also putting regulations on that as well. Now, with the current economic problems the Chinese Communist Party is facing, even Chinese companies are having a hard time in China, let alone Western companies. Even PDD Holdings, tied to Temu e-commerce, remember Temu and Shein being two of the biggest e-commerce sites, the ones projected to become some of the biggest e-commerce sites in the world, well, they're getting hit hard now as well. They're facing trouble. Reuters said that China's PDD Holdings missed market estimates for quarterly revenue on Monday as reduced consumer spending dented business at its domestic e-commerce platform Pinduoduo, sending the company's shares down more than 25% in early trade. And it said a fragile economy, persistent weakness in the property sector, and high unemployment rates have led Chinese consumers to cut back on purchases. They're not buying things like they used to. And it says that's damaging the country's retail and e-commerce sectors. Now, aside from the wars, the sanctions, the tariffs, the people are just not buying products like they used to. The Chinese Communist Party's own policies, though, are also causing their own problems. Financial Times said that China's $4.4 trillion mutual fund industry has become the latest target of President Xi Jinping's crackdown on finance, with new laws limiting fees and funds now subject to tougher and more frequent inspections. And it said under new rules that took effect last month, mutual fund houses have to reduce fees for both passive and active products. And it says as well that fund managers are also barred from purchasing third-party services such as external expert consultancy. And it notes as well that funds also face on-site audit checks, with the National Audit Office starting a two-month inspection of the accounting books for more than 10 leading mutual fund houses in June. And it notes as well, since late last year, securities regulators have closely monitored the trading activities of top mutual fund managers by size, requiring daily trade reports if net sales occur. So in other words, even the financial firms, the entire market, the banks, the businesses, they're all getting squeezed right now inside China and outside China. And even the programs the Chinese Communist Party has launched to try to save some of these industries, those don't seem to be working either. Newsweek said this. They said the Chinese government's efforts to stabilize its struggling property sector have failed. and the industry's problems are likely to continue putting downward pressure on the country's economy, experts have told Newsweek. Now, it's in recent months, particularly following April's meeting of the Chinese Communist Party's powerful Politburo, right? Top level of the Chinese Communist Party. There have been attempts to stabilize the nation's property market after it was thrown in disarray in 2021 when real estate giant Evergrande Group defaulted on interest repayments. But it says despite the introduction of measures, which included reducing down payment requirements in some places, getting rid of the floor of mortgage rates, and easing purchase restrictions, quote, there's still no evidence that these measures are doing anything near enough to stabilize the market. That's according to David Lubin, the Michael Klein Senior Research Fellow in the Global Economy and Finance Program at Chatham House Think Tank, telling, of course, Newsweek. And he adds as well, it doesn't feel like there's been any real improvement in the real estate sector in China. Now, remember, the CCP was trying to bail it out. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to fix the whole property market. They're even saying they're just going to buy all the properties themselves using government money. Some of the money they delegated to that actually never even got spent on it. The whole thing kind of met with disaster already, and it's already not working. And notably, we're also seeing these trends in a lot of other areas. You know, Chinese oil, for example, being one of the other big ones. We're also seeing these trends in areas where the Chinese Communist Party used to have global monopolies, including areas like rare earth minerals and other key metals. And remember, if you have a monopoly, if your economy and your numbers and everything else are based on you dominating the entire market, and you suddenly lose a good portion of that, what happens to your economy? Well, if your bubble has gotten as big as it can possibly get, it's either going to burst or it's going to contract. Right now, it's contracting at rapid rates, meaning that they can't grow beyond a certain threshold. And the system they had, the economic situation they had, was based on that being basically at the maximum threshold. Now, again, you know, part of these problems, they're coming from sanctions and tariffs coming from abroad. Part of it is being caused by the Chinese Communist Party becoming more authoritarian and even getting itself involved in different wars, which is scaring away foreign investment. But a big part of this is also just something happening within China. People are just plain old not spending money like they used to. And of course, you know, what's key here is how all these problems interrelate. It's causing a snowball effect. Now, each of these issues, whether it's the tariffs, whether it's the sanctions, whether it's, of course, the property markets collapsing, whether it's just businesses pulling out, whether it's China restricting key materials or other countries saying they won't buy them because they have overcapacity and they're trying to dump them on foreign markets. All of these issues, each one in and of itself would be a problem. But each one is also affecting the next. And when you have multiple crisis points happening at the same time, well, it starts that ball rolling. Now, as the economy gets weaker, people then have less money to spend. And as people have less money to spend, well, they spend less, obviously, which, of course, impacts the entire flow of cash to the whole market. The economy in its entirety gets weaker. And add to that the global conflicts, the trade wars, the fact the CCP, they keep signaling that it's going to expand all of these. Even aside from industries that are getting caught in the crossfire, right? The Chinese market overall is becoming too volatile for anyone to want to risk it. And again, all of that is feeding back into the whole growing snowball of problems, which is rolling hard now, and the Chinese Communist Party doesn't seem to have any way to stop it. Well, everyone, that's all for today. Thank you for joining us. Let me know what you think in the comments, and also please don't forget to share this episode, help us get the word out. And as always, please take care of yourselves, stay informed, and stay free. Thank you.